The State Department of Transportation releases its plans for area projects in 2010. And a local class will offer education in Northwest Coast art and design. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Nicholas Shotkovsky. Those stories and more up next. Alaska's Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is planning to spend over $800 million on projects around the state this year, an increase of 33% over last year's spending. In 2009, with a substantial influx of federal dollars from the economic stimulus package, the department's spending jumped to almost $600 million, up 50% from the $400 million spent in 2008. Roger Wetherell is Chief Communications Officer for the department.
If we look at transportation infrastructure improvements statewide, you know, we're looking at being able to put out $800 million or more in projects out to bid this year, 2010. There are about 100 projects, and we outsource most of the work, which is very beneficial to our economic state. I don't recall the percentages, but it's probably somewhere in the vicinity of 80% outsourced, 20% done by the state. But this is work that would most likely just go out to bid.
The DOT has two projects planned for 2010 in the Upper Lynn Canal.
Specifically for the Haines area, interestingly enough, we're looking at refurbishing and replacing some equipment at the ferry terminal there in Haines, some of the mooring system, the fendering system, and also constructing an unloading facility for those Alaska Marine Highway System ferries. We're looking at a price tag of about $18.2 million, which will also include a bridge at the Haines Ferry Terminal Dock. Elsewhere in Haines, we also have a project slated for the Klahini Bridge replacement and transfer, and that will entail replacing the bridge and modifying and upgrading some of the existing approaches. And of course, once that project is completed, we'll transfer ownership of that bridge to the Haynesboro once it's completed.
According to Wetherell, the $18.2 million slated for the ferry terminal work and the money for the Klahini River Bridge could be used to fund DOT employees, or it could be awarded to contractors hired to do the work.
That would be very dependent on the bidding process and the results that are formulated from that process. So it depends. Like I said, it goes through the formal process. And if companies in the local area are qualified and they meet all of the particulars within the contracting bid, then there's a potential for a beneficial outcome for local area businesses.
A workshop at the Haynesboro Public Library will provide an opportunity for local residents to learn about and practice traditional Northwest Coast art and design. Yolanta Ryan, education coordinator at the library, describes what's planned.
Jim Heaton's going to be running a Northwest Coast design workshop, and it'll be going for 3 weeks on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And let's see, you can learn about the Northwest Coast design, so you can learn how to make designs to put on carvings or button blankets, onto drums, and he has examples and patterns, and he can help you with ideas and to get a design made.
Instructor Jim Heaton is encouraging participants to come to the class with actual projects they'd like help with. While the artwork can be applied to carving, drums, or other materials, the design work in the class will all be done on paper, with drawing materials provided by the library. Heaton explains that the course will begin with an overview of the fundamentals of Northwest Coast design and progress toward creating artwork to apply to actual projects.
We'll start out with the basic design elements that are used in the Northwest Coast art, and practice drawing some of those elements, and then learn how to use those elements to put together a design an animal or something like that. And one thing we want to do is if someone has something that they want to put a design on, like a drum, they just had that drum making class a month or so ago, or you know, if they're working on a button robe or something like that, then they can bring that project to the class and get help putting a design on that. So it's not just for beginners, and I've done this quite a few times and have had many people that have been, you know, carving for years who will take the class, because it's like anything, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So
Heaton says that the high degree of sophistication in Northwest Coast art stems in part from its unusual role in society in contrast to other traditional art forms.
I think a lot of what we call primitive art today, a lot of that, like say the African art, some of your New Guinea style art, which are, you know, considered very collectible art forms today, a lot of that stuff was done for very specific religious purposes a lot of times. And it wasn't done as an art form, whereas the Northwest Coast art style had a whole economy built around producing high-quality artwork. So it became a very sophisticated artwork over the centuries. And it was traded from group to group, and you know, there was a whole system evolved around teaching the art form to people, too. So so you have varying degrees in the Northwest Coast art. Some of it's not as good as other stuff as far as the quality of the artistic work, but it's all very artistic in one form or another. And like I said, you had people who were paid to produce good art, so that's going to help to develop an art system.
Heaton was the lead carver and instructor for the library totem pole and has been teaching Northwest Coast art and design since 1994 through the University of Alaska. Ryan says that Heaton's workshop is part of a series the library is hosting that will provide opportunities for locals to share their expertise with the larger community.
So it's part of the new fingerprints grant that we have. And so we're just having experts from the community come in and teach the community about Tlingit culture, and as well as other any expertise that community members have.
A bald eagle injured near Chilkat Inlet received help recently from a variety of people in the Haines area. Alaska State Park Ranger Preston Cruz was central in the effort to rescue the bird.
We got a report on Monday that there was a injured eagle out on Paradise Cove area out on Mud Bay Road, and so Bill McRoberts and I went out and searched for it for quite a few hours and finally located it, and it took us quite a few attempts to capture it. The eagle would, as we approached it, would fly for a little ways, and we had to just keep following it and trying it, but we eventually got it captured, and it was too late in the day to send off. You know, it was already too dark.
Cruz says that the eagle spent the night in a transportation kennel at the facilities of the American Bald Eagle Foundation. Members of the Haines Animal Rescue Kennel came to offer assistance. Unfortunately, the animal caregivers were unable to provide food or water because of the bird's extensive injuries. The next morning, it was sent to Juneau, the closest location of facilities qualified to house and care for bald eagles.
Put it on the ferry the next day due to the bad weather, and we couldn't get it to fly or flown down to Juneau, and once they received it, they ended up determining that its injuries were too extensive to, really to work with, and they ended up euthanizing it.
Based on its plumage, the bird was an adult of at least 5 years of age. The veterinarian in Juneau who examined the bird said that the severity and variety of the eagle's injuries suggests that it had been hit by a car.
They said it had quite a bit of basically facial and throat trauma some sort of wing injury, although the wing wasn't broke, and then badly injured leg. When we finally located the eagle, the blood on its feathers, you know, kind of on its face and neck, looked like it was fairly fresh. As the day went on and we kept trying to capture it, the blood was drying where, you know, it had quit bleeding. And so we're thinking that it probably got hit just prior to people reporting it.
Despite the loss of the eagle's life, Ranger Cruz wishes to thank the numerous individuals who helped in the rescue effort, including the residents who initially made the report, Bill and Cheryl McRoberts of the American Bald Eagle Foundation, members of the Haines Animal Rescue Kennel, and the Alaska State Ferry, which transported the bird free of charge.
You know, it was just a good response from everyone, and unfortunately it didn't turn out, I guess, happily ever after, but, everybody did a good job, and, you know, I appreciate the help.
KHNS Local News airs every weekday at 5:30 p.m. and on weekday mornings at 6:49 and 7:49 a.m. Then a review of the week's top local news stories is heard every Saturday during Lynn Canal Weekend on KHNS.